You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good afternoon, folks. Welcome once again to Lee's Life's Facebook page with myself, Berrin Cross, and Joe Donoghue here at Ellen Road. Hopefully you can hear us over the lawnmowers. The groundsmen are doing work to the pitch in the hours after full time on what could be quite a seismic day in Leeds United's recent history. Another drubbing, another four goals. That's 20 in the last five games now. Joe tells me that's a record, or Opta has told Joe that's a record. No Premier League club has ever conceded that many goals in one month before, which is quite stark really, and where things are at. And ultimately it feels like a decision maybe coming. We don't know yet, we haven't been given any information on that, but all the facts would suggest that Leeds aren't breaking out of this run of form anytime soon. And with Andrea Abrazzani there today, Peter Lowy there today, Angus Kinnear and Victor Orta as usual, they would not be doing their jobs properly if they weren't at least discussing what their options were and where things stand. Because based on that match today, Joe, I mean, that was exactly what they didn't need after Liverpool on Wednesday. I mean, there was nothing there to suggest that this is going to change anytime soon. I mean, that was, yeah. Those first two goals were very, very uncomfortable to watch.
It was soft, especially those first two goals, and it didn't seem as though Leeds put up enough of a resistance. And it was kind of there was a sense that, well, the third one is going to come at some point, because Leeds weren't putting up enough going forward. And at the back, it was just too open. It was the game plan that Antonio Conte will have wanted from his side. You know, score early, then hit Leeds on the break, and they managed to do that. They were very compact at the back. Their wing-backs were really good today. And Leeds just weren't at it. They weren't at the races. And as you say, Berrin, the one thing that they needed to do today was a reaction after Liverpool. One thing you need after a heavy defeat, a 6-0 defeat in midweek, is to keep things tight, to make sure that you don't concede, at least not in the same manner. But unfortunately, that was the case, especially, you know, 15 minutes into the game, 2-0 down, you've got a mountain to climb. And from there, against a team who are quite literally designed and engineered to sit behind the ball and hit you with their players who can, you know, like Harry Kane did, loft one over the top for Son Heung-min. So, yeah, it was not the reaction and the response that was needed. And I think, you know, as a result, that is kind of where the questions and the uncertainty is coming from.
Just watching Stuart Dallas there walk away. He's just emerged from the tunnel. He's walking into the Norman Hunter South Stand. Not a usual route players take, but no sign of anything going on. He's on his own and could well be going to meet his family, to be honest. But just something we don't normally see. I mean... The most recent information we have is we spoke to Bielsa less than half an hour ago, and he remains confident. I think I asked him directly, do you have confidence that you still have the ideas and the ability to turn this season around for Leeds? And he said, of course. So as far as he is concerned, it doesn't look like he's going to walk away anytime soon. He firmly believes he has got the capacity to resolve what Leeds United are going through at the moment. And they're not in the bottom three yet. As we speak, Burnley and Brentford are both losing, which is good for Leeds. Newcastle are winning, which is probably one of the realities Leeds might have to accept if they're going to watch the other teams get dragged in along with them. So there are still 12 matches to go, but the concerning thing is off the back of Wednesday and today, is that it just doesn't feel like it's going to change. The caveats remain. I mean, Bielsa said, you know, he insisted he wasn't trying to justify the results, but he did at least acknowledge, which is unusual for him, he did acknowledge that these three matches have been against three of the six best teams in the division. And he said, without looking for excuses, you know, that is a fact, that these three heavy defeats have come against very, very competent and expensively assembled teams. So my interpretation of that is he is looking at the matches, maybe not even Leicester, but he's looking at those Villa and Norwich matches and believing that his system can still get results. And the system has been proven to work. You know, we have seen it. They finished ninth last season. They can do it. But is it coming down to personnel? I mean, there were several questions on the personnel today with Bielsa, and whilst he continues to take the blame, you know, he was asked, how can you be held responsible for individual errors and individual decisions that players are making on the pitch? And he refused to blame the players in any way at all. He reiterated that he felt he was seeing enough work rate from those players to believe that they are working for him and they are working for the system, and they've not thrown the towel in, so he's not seeing anything concerning in that regard. So, just got to wait and see. I mean, it's been so long since there were bad times at Leeds, it's hard to kind of recall what Radrizzani may do. He was ruthless in removing Paul Heckingbottom in the summer of 2018 after what was a pretty lacklustre finish to the Championship season. And since then, it's not really been a topic on the table, and there's been no real need for talk like this. And as I say, Peter Lowy, this isn't the first game in a while he's turned up out of the blue. He has been going to several games recently, so that isn't out of the blue. Andrea Radrizzani, of course, regularly in Italy, isn't at every game, but is here today. And I am sure, as I say, that there will be conversations going on as to what the club's position is. And they will be looking at the facts. Victor Orta, of course, is the football man in those relationships. He'll be looking at what he is seeing on the field. And I'm sure there will be conversations with the senior leadership in the dressing room. I'm sure it would be bizarre if Liam Cooper, Stuart Dallas and Luke Ayling were not being consulted on the way they see it in the dressing room. They will need to establish exactly the way everybody's feeling about the way the season is going and whether they firmly believe they are playing a system that will get them out of trouble, because as it stands they're just far too open. And as Joe was saying there, I mean, the timing of them to go two down so early, it just sucked the life out of the stadium and out of the players. Luke Ayling tried to rally them, but
it felt like a procession from that point, didn't it?
And then the third before half time. It's just, and I mean, the most telling sign was it was booze for the first time in Bielsa's tenure at halftime. I mean, that is always a sign of what's going on. I think social media and messaging forums are always going to be more volatile, but the mood in the ground is always the most important barometer for the way a head coach is perceived. And whilst there's not outright mutiny among the fans, and they're not shouting Bielsa out, I think just for the general situation, they needed to air their grievances, didn't they?
Yeah, they had to make their feelings known, and they've got every right to do that. It was a strange sensation. You did anticipate that maybe there would be, because of the manner of the three goals and the fact that the scoreline was 3-0 at half-time, but it was strange. It was strange to see, given how well-received everything has been in sort of the 3.5 years that Bielsa has been here. I think it's also, to polarise that, it's important to mention that for about 5 to 10 minutes during the second half, you know, the Ellen Road was playing all the hits, you know, trying to rally the players. You know, there was Wacko, there was We All Love Leeds. I think at one point there was a Marcelo Bielsa chant. There was definitely those before kickoff. And you think this is on the back of a 6-0 defeat to Liverpool. So I think, as you say, Baron, while it's not Bielsa out and while fans are not calling for that, grievances were aired, but I don't think it's got to that point with the majority of the fans in the stadium just yet. But as you say, it's ultimately not their call, and that will rest with the top brass who are obviously here today, and as you say, we'll be having discussions. I mean, you know, we've seen those reports like yourselves about whether there's some uncertainty over the future. I mean, it's one of those where we're just gonna have to wait and see, because on looking at the plain facts, and you know, neutrals looking at it, people who are not sort of plugged into the Leeds United universe, will look at it and say, 60 goals conceded all season, the most in the Premier League. 20 goals conceded in the 1 month alone.
You know, I mean, when you actually put it like that, that's a third of this season's entire goals conceded in 5 games.
Yeah, and you know, it's whichever way you look at it, you can't dress it up well. You know, if it wasn't Bielsa, if it was another manager, I think we'd be sitting here having a very different conversation.
He's got immense credit in the bank, which is why this decision has not come any sooner. If we're going to drill down into it and look at it and play out that scenario and the way Radrizzani, Kinnear and Orta will be looking at this, they've got 12 games to go now. Technically, it's not in their hands anymore. That's an age-old football argument. So I think the way you apply it is, if all of the teams around them were to win every game they have left now, Leeds would be powerless to stop themselves going down. That's the way we're trying to phrase it. If in the unlikely event that those equally poor teams were to win those games in hand, they would jump Leeds and Leeds would drop into the bottom three. So that's a fact of the matter. As I say, Brentford and Burnley are currently both losing. I think Brentford more and more are looking like the one team that could perhaps bail Leeds out of this. But Leeds have to play their part. You know, they can't just keep relying on these poor sides to drop points without picking up their own. I mean, we're in a really, really tough spot now. It reminds me a little bit of the spot we were in December, where, again, there was a succession of tough fixtures to play and they couldn't get anything from them. Famously played very well at Chelsea and lost. Absolutely annihilated at Man City and, of course, beaten heavily here against Arsenal with, you know, a very, very mixed side on the pitch. The bench, ironically, was looking the strongest it's looked in months today. But the ideas just look tired, and the players look like they're just devoid of ideas and, you know,
faith and confidence in their own ability. I think the Stuart Dallas chance summed that up.
Yeah.
You know, a player playing in his pomp would have gone round Lloris, would have looked at the goal, would have seen the open goal, and from 20 or 25 yards would have passed it into the net, or at least put some.
Look at his finish at Man City last season.
Well, exactly.
90th minute, 1-1. You've got Edison to beat, and you just knock it past.
Yeah, took the chance. Whereas today it was, you know, he took so long after rounding, after, you know, benefiting from the knock from Lloris, that it allowed not only Sessegnon to get back on the line, but another Spurs defender. You know, it didn't even get to Sessegnon. The shot was blocked by
a recovering defender.
It's a team which, you know, the confidence has been sapped, and rightly so. When you're in a run like Leeds are going through at the moment, there will be periods and there will be points where players are doubting themselves. You know, maybe you're not trying the more audacious things because you're conscious of the consequences and you know the things are so much more at stake. Things are so much more fractious and things like that. So I do think that the squad is suffering from maybe a crisis of confidence at the moment, and that's obviously not helping on the pitch, because, you know, it's largely the same players that were playing with such flow and such verve and pizzazz at the back end of last season.
They've got 12 games to go, and they've still got, as we say, in the immediate future, Leicester is in a week's time, and whilst on paper they've got a top six or top seven side, they're mid-table for a reason. They haven't won this year, so. Of course, went to Leicester last season with I think what was my performance of the season in terms of an all-round 90-minute performance, in terms of dominating a game against a very, very good side. So that is winnable, at least, whilst not being easy. And then we do come to the Villa Norwich doubleheader, and that is what will be looming large for the top brass. And they have to look at it and think, if they were to make a change now, they've got 12 games to go. For me, it's too late. For me, I don't think you can get somebody in with this small group of players and inject the kind of change you need to see that gets them out of bother. I think they're too indoctrinated with what Bielsa has done for, in some cases, 4 years of some of these players.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really hard to have them play another way. So if you're ruling a different style of play out and you're looking at bringing somebody like a Jesse Marsh in, that just looks riddled with risks as well. And I think you're looking at somebody who's never managed in the Premier League. Joe tells me it did not end particularly well at Leipzig for him.
It didn't start well. There was no point when it was going well for him.
Okay, so he's going to come in, and from what we've read, he will try and play in a similar way. So if you're going to try and play in a similar way, why are you getting rid of Bielsa? I mean, yeah. He knows the players far better than Jesse Marsh. Whilst the players are struggling on the pitch to do the job they need to, deep down, a great many of them will feel they owe an immense amount of their recent careers to Bielsa and what he has done for many of them. He has taken many of those players to heights that they have not experienced before and would not have experienced without Bielsa, regardless of what he says with his modesty and obviously not ignoring the fact the players have worked hard themselves to get to where they are, but there has to be that union and that relationship between players and head coach that means Bielsa is worth sticking with. And
yeah. I agree with you. I don't see the benefits of bringing somebody else in outweighing the costs if you're just going to insist on the same style of play, because the squad is catered to it. And we were saying this before, it would be so messy. It would be incredibly messy. you know, because of the situation with Bielsa's coaching staff and how, you know, they're paid out of Bielsa's pocket and having to negotiate payoffs for them and that sort of thing. Because
it's not an easy transplant, is it?
Not at
you
all.
Can't just transplant them out and bring somebody else.
You can't do that in the space of 7 days. It would be impossible. It would be rushed. And, you know, ultimately, if that is the decision which is taken, it's one which will have lots of questions because, you know, just looking on social media after the game, you know, with the suggestion that might have been Bielsa's last game, so many people coming out of the woodwork to say that, you know, that Bielsa has given them, you know, reignited their footballing supportership, you know, the feeling that he's instilled and the faith that they still have despite this, you know, really, really treacherous run. So it would be an incredibly, incredibly bold decision
If they went to Leicester and got tonked straight away without any sign of change, then everybody's going to say, well, what on earth have we done? We've just removed the finest manager that the club has seen in more than 20 years, and we're now stuck with, you know, I'm not going to name a name, but, you know, we are stuck with manager X, who does not know the players particularly well. He's now got 11 games to turn it around, and there was no visible manager bounce in that loss at Leicester. So these are things they've got to look at. And I mean, I'm not saying if they stick with Bielsa they're definitely going to stay up. I'm not saying that. I think that it's equally risky, but I just think you've got to look at the lesser of three or four evils. And there is enough credit there and enough recent evidence to believe that at least it can work. You know, it's not a case of it's never worked and we're just flogging a dead horse. It's been very bad recently, but we know it can work if they can just find that bounce in some way. I mean, again, the reports in the week, the steers that people are getting from other people in the club would suggest that Bamford, Phillips and Cooper are not far away at all. But Bielsa, of course, is continuing to manage expectations in the press, and he is saying, no, early March is looking unrealistic now. But the noises we hear from other avenues are different, and there is at least some hope that those players will be in place still in early March. So
that will be a massive bounce whenever they come back.
Regardless of what Bielsa says about, I mean, they're going to be rusty, but it's just going to at least change the scenery. I mean, when Rodrigo and Klipp came on at half-time, no part of me thought that they're going to suddenly find the recipe. I mean, Bielsa tried to explain that somewhere, didn't he? He effectively tried to put the team on the pitch that had done so well in the second half against Manchester United, didn't he? With Rodrigo up top, Forshaw behind in a more defensive role, and then Klipp on the pitch as well. That's what he was looking for, but I think he said that they're just not managing it. He says that
it's not that it's a question.
It's not they're not trying. Yeah, it's not that they're not trying to do the right things. It's just they're not managing to do it.
Which leaves you with the question of, you know, where do we go from here? And, you know, you look ahead at the fixtures to come. You've got Leicester, you've got Villa, you've got Norwich. On paper, obviously not taking into account the run that the team have been on, they are three winnable games. So far this season, Leeds have not been beaten by any of those three teams. You know, Leicester, it was 1-1 here at Elland Road. Norwich, 2-1 at Carrow Road. Villa, 3-3 at Villa Park. You know, there is hope that, you know, it can be turned around. And as you've been saying, it's not as though Bielsa's system has not worked this season or it's been completely devoid of ideas. It has worked. There have been games where Leeds have played for, you know, maybe 30 to 45 minutes like they did last season. They haven't been able to sustain that over a 90-minute period, to my mind. But, yeah, I keep coming back to the thought that, you know, what happens if certain players just take their foot off the gas, just 2, 3, 4, 5%, because Bielsa's no longer there? That's, you know, it doesn't bear thinking about, because you can't just get that back in an instant.
I think that's why the conversations with Cooper, Ayling and Dallas are going to be particularly important. The board need to read the dressing room, I should say. They need to understand the way the players are feeling and the way they might react if a change of manager did occur. So they need to be aware of that, and if they were not to consult the players and make that change, and like Joe says, there is at least some risk of alienating some of the players who are firmly entrenched with Bielsa and want to fight with him until the end. I mean, in terms of the game, I mean, much like Liverpool, there doesn't feel like there's a lot to really discuss, to be honest. I mean, the defending was really poor. I think Firpo, Llorente and Harrison got my lowest marks. I think Llorente's defending on the Kane goal is abysmal. Firpo, how on earth is Kulishevsky...
Just rolls him, doesn't he?
Kulishevsky's facing the corner flag, and within 5 seconds he's scoring. It just should not be happening. And Harrison was run ragged by Matt Doherty and was then removed at half time and again provided nothing in the final third.
I mean, it's difficult to find any redeemable performances in that, similar to Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't really anything. I mean, we should make note that Robin Koch hit the post with sort of a very tame
Rafinha
effort.
With a free kick.
Rafinha hit the post.
The game was long gone by then.
But yeah, exactly. The game was 4-0 by
Koch
that
hit the post at 2-0, did he?
2-0, yeah.
I mean, that does change a lot. That did inject a bit of life briefly into the stadium, didn't it?
But I feel like it would have been a similar scenario to Manchester United, where you know you get one back, or you get the equaliser, but you still run ragged, and Spurs would have likely gone and got another. The space that was being given to Harry Kane when he was dropping off and just able to ping balls over the top was always likely, you know, the Son goal where he plays it over for him, and it just lands on his touch. It was always likely to happen. And It wasn't just a case of, you know, the better players won on the day. It was, you know, it pains me to say, but I think Antonio Conte definitely, he got it spot on.
He got it bang on.
And Bielsa didn't today.
We were expecting Kane to be the man dropping deep and that Son and Kulishevsky would be providing the penetration. But as it was, Son and Kulishevsky were playing just as narrow and as deep as Kane were. And it was the wing-backs. Sessegnon and Doherty were just bombing on and always... seemed to be one of, if not the furthest men forward for Spurs, and they were getting in behind the Leeds fullbacks. They were running Dallas and Firpo ragged, and if they weren't mopping up, then they were pulling back for Son, Kane and Kulishevsky, who were arriving later on. And Conte took great pleasure post-match in saying that was the mark of his system. You know, that was the first time he really saw his system really being imprinted with one wing back assisting the other. That seems to be what he's been looking for since day one.
How many low crosses were there in that game which went from one wing back to the other? I mean, the first goal is that is what that move was.
Sums up his Chelsea team as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Moses and Alonso.
Yeah. It was a team performance in his image, and Leeds suffered because of it, unfortunately.
We've got a week to go now. There's no midweek game, which will give at least some pause for thought. We'll obviously try and stay on top of the Bielsa stuff as best we can. Clearly there are a very select few people making this decision, and therefore the chain reaction of people hearing the news getting out, will then sort of grow from there. But it really does come down to being in that room, in the boardroom, when a decision is made, if any decision is made. And then it's Leicester in the same slot next Saturday. We'll be at Leicester City for the Saturday lunchtime kickoff. And based on the reports that are coming out online tonight, you know, who knows who the head coach is going to be? For the first time in 3.5 years, we're saying that. You know, we don't actually know who the head coach may well be. Changes-wise, I mean, based on what Bielsa said, it sounds like that still will come too soon for Phillips, Cooper and Bamford, who was sat in the director's box today. So it may all be the same 20 that we go with again, and I don't know what alternatives are they go with. I mean, Leicester are there to be got at. We'll see how Leicester... I think Leicester, have they got a game this weekend? Yes, they're playing Burnley on Tuesday.
They're playing
Burnley in midweek. So we'll see how they get on against Burnley. I mean, that's an ironic one. Do we want them to beat Burnley and go to King Power in confident, or do we want them to lose and give Burnley 3 points? I suppose a draw is the stop response, isn't it?
I mean, I still wouldn't want Burnley to be picking up any additional points.
I think you're right.
They still have two games in hand on Leeds.
I think you take a Leicester win and hope that they rest on their laurels at King Power.
And you maybe hope that they're a bit tired after playing on the Tuesday with Leeds.
True.
On Saturday.
Yeah, true.
And obviously they've had two Europa League ties in the mix as well.
Yeah.
They were in Denmark over the in midweek, so lots of games for them. So hopefully maybe some tiredness to exploit, because that's exactly what Leeds would need.
Yeah.
Going into a game and just putting a stamp on it, and just constantly putting the opposition on the back foot like they did last season, keeping them on the ropes, and putting them to the sword with a few goals. But yeah, that feels a long way off.
It really does at the moment. We'll wrap it up there, but you know, keep your chins up, and as I say, keep across leeds-live.co.uk, and we'll try and bring you some of the analysis from today. Joe's just put the transcript up from Bielsa, so that's got every word. Again, a quite fascinating press conference, very few questions about the game itself and personnel and injuries. It was all about Bielsa and the system and whether it's working and his immediate future. And we will be there whatever happens next Saturday at Leicester. Thanks for joining.